Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Kristen Linfante, Executive Director, Chamber Music Pittsburgh.
That's right.
Am I correct in this? Welcome to Berg Vivant. It's nice to be having a little drink with you here.
Thank you.
And could we have asked for a better setting? This is truly one of the most gorgeous interiors in all of Pittsburgh.
It's true. It's pretty spectacular.
This is the Carnegie Music Hall, where Chamber Music Pittsburgh has the good fortune of performing.
That's right.
So tell me a little bit about you. You yourself are a musician, yes?
I am. I'm a viola player. I have been playing professionally for many, many years. I studied at Juilliard. I worked my way through Juilliard, however, in arts management.
Wow, so you know the arts end and the business end.
Exactly.
That's important, though.
Yeah, at the time, I never knew that it would serve me so well. I thought it was just a way to pay the bills. But as a result of that experience during those years, I have had many opportunities to work not only on stage, but off stage, which is very interesting, and it's a different kind of creative outlet.
And for those who, you know, might be a little lacking music knowledge, like myself from time to time, the viola, where is that on the scale of the string things? Because I know the, you know, it runs
it's
the gamut from
the big
bit, right? And
no.
Then the violin's kind of like middle, but viola is, I think, smaller than the violin?
No.
Bigger?
Yep.
Oh.
The violin is the smallest. You play it on your shoulder, obviously. The viola is slightly bigger than a violin. You also play it on your shoulder. Mm. It is tuned a fifth lower than a violin. So it can play lower than a violin, but it can't play as high as a violin. So it's in between the cello and the violin.
Now, what attracted you to that instrument in particular?
Well, you know, I started playing when I was 10 through the public school system where I grew up. And for the longest time, I was sure I wanted to play the violin. I couldn't wait for that opportunity in fourth grade to play the violin. And that day came when the music teacher presented all of the stringed instruments to the class. And it was the first time I had heard a viola, or had heard of a viola. And the moment I heard it, I knew that that was what I wanted to play. And it stuck immediately. The moment I started playing, I knew that this is what I wanted to do.
Is there an attitude that goes along with it, like, oh, you're such a viola player, you're such a violist, as opposed to like a violinist?
Absolutely.
Are there personalities that go along with it?
Absolutely, yeah, I think for all instruments. violinists tend to be very competitive, tend to want to be in the limelight. Of course, the violins tend to always play the melody, be the featured instrument, sort of like the trumpet.
So it's kind of tied to their job in an orchestra or a music group, I think.
It is, for sure. viola players tend to be pretty mellow, non-competitive. And ironically, the viola in an ensemble is the middle voice. It's sort of the glue that holds everything together. And viola players in their personalities tend to be that way. They're sort of the peacemakers, the ones who you know, gather everyone together and have a good time.
I wonder if we could match people up based on the instruments they play, kind of like you do with astrological signs, you know? Like, if you're an Aries, you're fidgety, and you should never be with a Sagittarius or whatever, you know? If you're a viola player, don't ever, you know, date a tuba, you know? Things like that, I don't know.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I am married to a tuba player.
I had no idea. I'd have all the instruments for me to just pick out randomly.
It's true. I'm married to a tuba player, and... tuba, viola, marriages, and relationships are very common.
Wow, there is something to this. I got to write a
book.
There
really is. There really is, yeah. Many of my colleagues, viola colleagues, are married or in a relationship with a tuba player. It's true.
That's great. Do you all see a trend in this? I mean, do you talk about this as musicians?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's pretty obvious, yeah. And it's just sort of an accepted, and it is, I think, partly that personality thing.
I'm going to introduce you to Chad. He's a tuba player. There could be a whole website for musical dating.
It's true. Yeah, absolutely.
We could call it Musical Chairs. Well, I can think of something more clever than that, but that is hysterical.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
So, it's true. The good thing about that is, you know, you would think, gosh, there can't be much music written for tuba, viola. But there actually is, because there have been a lot of modern composers who have written pieces specifically for these couples. So
right, they want to make music together.
Exactly. So there's a fair amount of music written for tuba and viola.
I really stumbled onto a wild phenomenon here.
I can't believe that you threw out tuba. Yep.
So maybe this is a concept for a concert, you know, musical couples, duets.
Yeah. I've actually done a concert like that with... At a music festival that I perform at every summer at the Grand Teton Music Festival, we did a concert that consisted of all of the couples in the orchestra. Several of them were viola players. There's only one tuba in every orchestra, so the tuba was mine. But but yeah, it's of course, playing chamber music is such a love of mine and every musician. It's really a really intimate experience, I think, more than playing in an orchestra, a big orchestra. That's a fabulous experience as well, but it's different. Chamber music is really intimate, not only among the players, but also among the listeners.
Mm-hmm. So let's, you know, put on the table what you feel is a good definition of chamber music, because, you know, I think I know what it is, but, you know, I may not.
What do you think it is?
Well, my impression of chamber music, and you're totally putting me on the spot here.
I haven't even had a sip of my martini yet.
Yes, yes. My impression of chamber music, and this is not a professional definition whatsoever, but it is intimate. It is a smaller group, and it's very gentle. I don't know if there's a genre that it fits in, but I always kind of picture, maybe I, and this is incorrect, but I always kind of associate it with like Baroque or like Elizabethan kind of music too. And maybe that's incorrect. So this is maybe, that's the conception that's out there. So tell me how what am I missing?
Well, you're actually pretty close. And historically speaking, you're absolutely right. Chamber music comes from back in the day when kings and queens had their court and they would have chamber music performed in the chambers of their homes, usually castles. So that's where the concept of chamber music comes from, where a very wealthy, high-up official or political person or just a very wealthy person would hire musicians to come, or they would actually have them as their employee perform privately in their home for them and their guests. So it was a very intimate experience. It would be done anywhere from a living room space to a recital hall that might exist in a castle somewhere in Europe. And it was meant to be very intimate. And oftentimes those people who hired these musicians to perform were amateur musicians themselves. And they would do a little performing themselves because it was fun. It was like a big chamber music party, really.
So what, I mean, those certainly are the origins, and that's where the name chamber comes from. So what sets chamber music apart today from, say, any other smallish group of musicians?
Well, chamber music can be anywhere from two musicians on stage collaborating together to a small orchestra of maybe 20 players on stage. Typically, what would set it apart is that it's conductorless, where the group of musicians, whether it's two or 20, are essentially communicating with each other on a level that's so intimate that you don't need to be having a conductor up there leading you. You're communicating on a level that's very intimate and almost telepathic in a sense.
Wow.
Using your body language, even facial expressions to take
hey tuba, you're on. Come
yeah,
on.
Right.
Wink wink.
Exactly. But it's really it's a type of relationship that develops not only with the players but also with the people listening. Typically speaking, in chamber music, listeners can be much closer to the musicians. Say you've got a string quartet on stage in Carnegie Music Hall, they're going to be right at the edge of the stage. They're going to be very close to the people who, especially the people who really want to be close and are in the first few rows. They actually feel like they're part of what's being made up there, which is a lot different, I think, than sitting and watching a performance of a very large orchestra, mm-hmm. where you really feel like you're on the outside looking in on something incredible, but you're not necessarily a part of it.
It's a different experience. You know, when I go to see a large symphony perform, I always like to splurge and get as close as I can, yeah. because there's really something, to me anyway, about feeling the music, mm-hmm. being able to feel. I mean, if you're way in the back, you may as well just get a nice recording of it. I mean, it's nice to see everybody at work too, but there's always been something for me about actually feeling the vibrations of the notes and things like that. And I think with smaller groups, you get that so much more.
Right, yeah, well, I believe, and I think this is what drew me to music in the first place, was that music and performing music is all about connections. Not only with your colleagues on stage, but with the audience as well. And I think that's what brings an audience to a performance as well, is they want to feel a connection, whether it's a connection to the music, because it brings about emotions and feelings that they might not otherwise experience just, on a day-to-day basis. It's that connection with the music, and it's also connection with the musicians and the people around them. That collective experience is something that you really can't get anywhere else.
And is that a philosophy that carries through into Chamber Music Pittsburgh?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, that's. I think it's the basis of what we do. When this organization was started 53 years ago,
wow,
it was a group of people in a grassroots effort to bring chamber music to the masses because they recognized the value in it and the value in that connection. It really connects a community.
Mm-hmm.
It's very powerful.
53 years
yeah.
of chamber music. So does Chamber Music Pittsburgh do select pieces to perform that are sort of the era that chamber music became popular, or does it actually perform newer music?
All kinds of music. The range is so huge. And that's what you just described, I think, is perhaps a misconception mm-hmm. of chamber music. It's not just about Bach, Beethoven, Mozart, Brahms. The gamut is so wide. We, this past season, had pieces that were written in the past few years. We've actually commissioned composers to write pieces for the series.
Mm.
So it's really a wide, wide range. And I think that's really important because people are exposed in all kinds of ways, on elevators and in department stores, to very standard music, whether it's Bach, Mozart, Pachelbel Canon, we all know it. We all
and the jazzy elevator renditions of it too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We all recognize it. And I really believe that it's Chamber Music Pittsburgh's responsibility to not only expose our audiences to the great chamber music that we all know and love, but also to expose them to things that they may have never known existed, because they would never have the opportunity to realize how much they really might like it.
Sure. What effects have you seen of chamber music, Pittsburgh's presence in Pittsburgh?
Well, I do. I really think that it's a community building kind of an organization. Music brings people together. There's no doubt about it. And there's nothing that can replace music as far as I'm concerned. And I feel that personally and as a executive director, you know, in a business sense, it really does bring communities and people together, regardless of any kind of demographic. It's a common thread among humans.
And I think it's a great sign that a city like Pittsburgh has supported this for 53 years now.
Absolutely, yeah. Pittsburgh is really a cultural mecca, considering the size of the city. It's really got a lot going on. It's pretty exciting. I've lived in lots of major cities. I've lived in New York City. I've lived in San Francisco. And Pittsburgh really stands up to the big, great cities of the United States and the world, really.
Oh, yeah. We're lucky. It's a great place to
be.
It is. So what's in the future for Chamber Music Pittsburgh? I think you'll be kicking off your 2014-15 season very soon here.
That's right.
So what have you got in store for us?
There's some good stuff. Well, recently we changed our name, actually. We were the Pittsburgh Chamber Music Society. And I came on as executive director last year, last February. And in March, we changed our name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this wasn't me coming in saying, we've got to change our name. It had been decided prior to me coming on. And the reason we decided to change it was because we wanted a name that was more inclusive. The word society
implies that you maybe have to at least learn a secret handshake.
Exactly. We didn't want to give anyone the impression that perhaps they didn't belong.
Oh.
So we changed our name to Chamber Music Pittsburgh. And now, of course, the goal is to not only, you know, sell the new name to the public, but show them that the name change really does represent our goals, in that, you know, we're trying to do much more outside of the concert hall. We've done a couple of things in the past several months in art galleries and things like that. We have a new series at the Kelly Strayhorn Theater, which is a really eclectic series. It's called Just Summer. It happens in the summertime. And it's pretty cutting edge.
Hmm.
And it's the idea behind it is that we want to branch out. We want to appeal to as wide of an audience as we possibly can.
And it's an exciting thing for me to hear the term cutting edge in the same sentence as chamber music, because
exactly.
Again, that's shattering my preconceived notion that it, you know, was a lot of that Elizabethan Baroque, but no, it's hip, it's up to date, it's happening.
Absolutely, and as far as musicians are concerned, speaking as a musician and on behalf of musicians, I think it's safe to say that there's nothing more fun and cool for a musician than to get together with a bunch of friends and read chamber music. In a casual, relaxed setting, maybe with a martini the side of your chair, it's a great time, and I think it's a great time for the people milling around listening as well. It's
now, would chamber musicians refer to that as a jam session?
Well, they could.
What are some hip chamber music terms?
Gosh. Yeah, we are a pretty hip bunch. It's true. Gosh, now you've stumped.
All
me.
Right, so
well. You know, it's true. You know, a jam session in the group that I perform with a fair amount, Apollo's Fire, which is actually a Baroque ensemble. You brought that up as your preconceived idea of chamber music, and we do play chamber music. It's a group. The core group is about 14 of us, and we perform music of that time period, the Baroque time period. But back then, for example, Vivaldi, who, of course, we all know, Four Seasons, all of his concertos. He was basically a rock star back in the day. He had wild, flowing, long red hair, curly red hair, and he was considered a rock star. And they would have jam sessions back then.
There we go.
So it's not stuffy. It really is meant to be fun and enjoyable and with depth at the same time.
Sure, sure. You know? Well, you mentioned performing with that group. So in addition to being executive director of Chamber Music Pittsburgh, which I assume keeps you very busy, do you yourself get a lot of opportunity to still perform on your viola?
I do. Well, I'll tell you, that was one of the stipulations of taking this position.
Ah, good.
Was that I know in my heart that I need to perform. I need to still play. And my board of directors has given me that flexibility.
Great.
To still perform, which is very important to me. And I think at the same time, it's a benefit to have an executive director who is very familiar with the artistic side as well.
Sure, sure.
But yes, I do still perform. I actually just came back from a music festival that I've been playing at for the past 20 years. It's called the Grand Teton Music Festival. Mm-hmm. It's in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. It's an orchestral and chamber music festival. Mm. It's made up of musicians from all around the country, mostly musicians who play in large orchestras. So the chamber music aspect of it is so appealing to these musicians because they rarely get to do it. I spend a month every summer there. Coming up this fall, I'll be performing with my ensemble, Apollo's Fire. We do quite a bit of touring in the US and Europe as well. We'll be having our debut at the Proms, actually, next fall.
At the Proms?
Yep. The one in England.
The
Prom.
You guys play every gig. Taylor Alderdice's Prom.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'll show you how much I may wear a tuxedo, but I don't get out that much.
The Proms is the most prominent music festival in Europe. It happens in London every year. But sorry about that. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, maybe at a prom as well.
We'll see what we can do.
There's
plenty of opportunity to go around for somebody else to cover that. And you know, chamber musicians strike me as having so much poise and elegance on stage. There's got to be some bloopers that you've experienced in your time.
Absolutely. Well, it's true. Ideally, it's great if you can be poised on stage. Absolutely. I have certainly had some moments that have challenged keeping my composure and poise.
Now, that's even a poised way to describe that, you know?
I can think of two examples that will forever haunt me. One of them was, I was performing at the Mozarteum, which is a school in Salzburg, named, of course, after Mozart, very famous. I spent a summer there 1 year, and I was playing chamber music. It was myself and a pianist on stage. And I was really getting into the music. It was Hindemith that I was playing. And suddenly I took a step back and I was wearing high heels.
Mm-mm.
And the heel of my shoe got caught in a groove between the wood on the stage. And suddenly when I went to take the step forward, my shoe fell off. So the shoe was stuck behind me in the floor. And I was now standing on 1 foot, sort of hopping, trying to keep my balance as I continued to play. That was a big challenge. I came to discover that balancing on 1 foot while performing is not that easy. Mm. Maybe if I did yoga, I would have a little bit better core balance. But that was a challenge. Most recently, now this was fairly mortifying. I was performing with Apollo's Fire. We were on tour performing all of Bach's Brandenburg concertos. Now, one of those concertos was written for two violas, which was pretty unusual at the time because the viola wasn't considered a solo instrument. But number 6 was written for two violas, so I was standing with my colleague performing this piece. We were on the last movement of the piece, and suddenly I started to feel the top of my dress coming undone. And of course, I became extremely focused on trying to keep my dress on my body,
Was it just doing that on its own, or?
It did, yeah. I was holding the instrument, of course, on my shoulder, and I must have moved in a certain way, and something came undone. And as I was playing, suddenly I had to completely go on automatic pilot with the playing as I tried to wiggle.
And they're probably thinking, wow, this violist is really grooving to the beat here.
Yeah, she's really feeling the music. Jam session. And lo and behold, of course, the entire top of my dress falls to my waist. And suddenly the audience is leaning in a little bit more, watching the performance.
Oh my God.
And I kept thinking, okay, I've got to finish the piece. Half of my dress has fallen off, but I'm going to do this.
Well, you had something on underneath, right?
Yeah. but yes, half of my dress fell off. Of course, as soon as we finished the piece, I was trying to strategically hold my instrument in front of me while I took my bows, trying to get the dress back on.
It turned into like a Victor Borga,
it was a little bit of a comedy routine. You know, a little box striptease. It was probably a first, I would guess, for that piece. My colleagues joked that we probably should have charged a little bit more for those tickets that night. But I will never wear that dress again on stage, for sure.
Wardrobe malfunction. It even happens in chamber music.
It's true.
Oh, yeah, my goodness.
It's a pretty wild time.
Well, we certainly wish you a successful 2014-15 season. Blooper-free, wardrobe malfunction-free. What's the season looking like? We talked a little bit about the recent changeover in name, but what can we expect for the upcoming season?
The season starts on September 29th. All of our concerts are here at Carnegie Music Hall. They all start at 7:30. We do a lobby recital right here in this space prior to every concert, and it features young musicians of Pittsburgh. That happens at 7:00. They last about 20 minutes, just a little taste, and then we go into the big hall for the concerts. September 29th will feature the Takash Quartet. They're based at the University of Colorado. They're a fabulous group. They've been to Pittsburgh many times and are known and loved in Pittsburgh. After that, we've got the Pacifica Quartet coming with a local artist, David Harding, who's a viola player, actually an old classmate of mine from Juilliard.
There you go.
He teaches at Carnegie Mellon. He will be performing with them in some viola quintets. We've got the Jerusalem Quartet coming, also a big favorite in Pittsburgh. In March, we'll have Zool Bailey, who's a cellist, coming with pianist Awadagan Pratt, also a former Juilliard student and a former Pittsburgher. He was born in Pittsburgh. And we'll finish off the season with the Brentano String Quartet, also old classmates of mine, with clarinetist Todd Palmer. And we love to bring in these groups, you know, adding David Harding to the mix or adding Todd Palmer to the mix to, again, give more opportunities for different types of chamber music to be played.
Sure, sure. And we can find all of this online at chambermusicpittsburgh.org. What is the URL there?
You got it, www.chambermusicpittsburgh.org.
Very good. Yeah. We'll be looking forward to it.
Thank
and we can
you.
Find tickets there as well.
Absolutely.
Bravo. Well, again, cheers to all of the future success of Chamber Music
Thank
Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Berg-Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Berg-Vivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.